Support for KNKX Studio Sessions come from Portage Bay Cafe, with reservations now available online for all four Seattle locations. Offering local, sustainable, and organic foods grown in the Northwest, Portage Bay Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and lunch delivery. Online at portagebaycafe.com.
Today we are excited to welcome pianist Emmett Cohen and his trio to the KNKX studios. This feels like it's going to be one of those afternoons that we're looking back 10 years and go, God, remember the time that Emmett was here with Russell and Kyle? This is going to be a good one, folks. Mr. Cohen's been playing the piano since before he could talk, growing up in New Jersey, studying piano and jazz through college and settling in New York. He's gained immeasurable experience with bassist Christian McBride, drummer Herlin Riley, singer Kurt Elling, and many, many others. Emmett has been growing in skill and reputation recently, and his Masters Legacy series recordings have featured legendary drummer Jimmy Cobb and earlier this year iconic bassist Ron Carter. Upcoming albums will feature many more greats. We'll talk about that as we get into it. He is also the organist in residence at Smoke Jazz Club in New York. The trio is ready to go, so let's bring them on. Russell Hall, Kyle Poole at the bass and drums, please help me welcome the Emmett Cohen Trio. Pianist Emmett Cohen and his trio live on 88.5 KNKX. Russell Hall bass, Kyle Poole at the drums. Our friend Kareem Candy is going to join him for a tune coming up in just a minute. Welcome to our studios, Emmett Cohen. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much, Abe. Pleasure to be here in Seattle.
I'm curious a little bit about, let's teach our audience a little bit about who Emmett Cohen is. You started playing piano at a young age. You got a chance to go to one of the great jazz camps at Litchfield. And were you set on a style when you were coming up? I mean, I know you went from classical music into jazz. Did you have a good idea what you wanted to play in the world of jazz as a kid?
No, I don't think I had a good idea as a kid what I wanted to do. But I always played classical piano, and I always loved classical piano. And as I grew, I started doing other things as pianists do, like accompany singers and play for musicals and start to, you know, arrange and compose things and just various in various styles of music. And then I started playing some saxophone and clarinet, and I got into Charlie Parker and John Coltrane and started learning their solos and translated that to the piano. Then heard people like Oscar Peterson, Art Tatum, Hank Jones, and wanted to mimic that sound. And as I grew, I started meeting other musicians who were playing jazz and played music with other people. And once I experienced that, that's when I knew that this was the music for me, playing music with other people in a creative and improvisational environment.
Right on. Now, you had the extra bonus of growing up close to New York City, and I wonder how much you had a chance to take advantage of that as a younger musician, of going out and seeing these greats in the clubs.
Yeah, I spent the first 10 years of my life in Miami, and then we moved to Montclair, New Jersey, right outside of New York City. And there's a lot of great jazz musicians that live in Montclair. A lot of great artists and comedians. Stephen Colbert lives there. Christian McBride lives there. There are many other musicians in town who live there. But I was going into Manhattan once or twice a week, studying classical piano at Manhattan School of Music, and was also exposed to many jazz concerts there. I went to go see Jimmy Smith at the Blue Note on organ before he passed away. I saw very early on Monty Alexander, who made me love the piano, made me love that feeling of swing. I got a chance to see Marcus Roberts and many other great musicians from being in that area.
Now, you mentioned Jimmy Smith. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your residency at Smoke in New York City as the in-house Hammond organ player. Is that something that you've been working on for a while, or is it a new instrument for you? It's a real different animal.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, and New Jersey has a long history and rich tradition of Hammond B3 organ. And I went to this jam session on Tuesday nights as a teenager, and at the jam session there was no pianist, there was no piano. There was only an organ, so I'd go to the jam session. All my friends would sit in on their various instruments, and it made me want to just get up there and learn the organ. So one night at 2 a.m., I got up there and I played a song, and it was probably horrendous. But it inspired me to go to the club. They let me go there after school and practice on the organ, and I eventually acquired a Hammond B3, and it lived in my bedroom in my late high school years. And so it was always something I did and always a sound that I connected with. So it's part of my musical scope for sure.
Yeah, and that instrument, that sound has certainly come back into modern jazz along with Fender Rhodes, a lot of synthesizers. Do you feel like that electronic keyboards is something that's part of your style built in, or are you more a fan of the infinite possibilities of the acoustic piano?
Oh, that's funny you mentioned that, because last night I played a gig on Rhodes and B3, but that is it's more rare than playing on the acoustic piano. The acoustic piano just has such a rich tradition. You know, you hear a recording of Glenn Gould playing the piano, and you're like, wow, that's Glenn Gould's touch. Mm-hmm. You hear a recording of Vladimir Horowitz, that's Vladimir's touch. You hear Thelonious Monk, you're like, wow, I know that sound, the way that his hand strikes the piano. And the piano, as all acoustic instruments do, lend itself to you developing your own relationship and your own individual sound on your instrument. And I think that's something that I've always aspired to create my own sound and to explore the possibilities of the piano, which are, of course, endless.
Kareem's going to come and join you for a song. How did you get to know Kareem Candy?
I first traveled out to the Pacific Northwest with a drummer in the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra. His name is Ali Jackson. And I came out here with his trio, and Kareem lived out here, and we connected then. I think he set up a few gigs for us, and he also played with us a little bit, and he was just an overall amazing human being. And since then, we've developed a relationship over the past 3 years. I've watched him become a father, and we've kept in close touch, and it's just a pleasure to come out here and reconnect.
Well, we are always thrilled to have a jazz connection with New York musicians, so great to have Kareem with the Emmett Cohen Trio performing next live on 88.5 KNKX. Kareem, take your horn, and let's blow, man, blow. What do we got next featuring Kareem Candy, Emmett?
We're going to play an old standard called I Remember You. Thank you.
our friend Kareem Candy guesting with the Emmett Cohen Trio. Russell Hall bass, Kyle Poole at the drums. Emmett, you've got this wonderful new series of albums that is underway with more to come, the Masters Legacy series. You've got albums out working with legendary drummer Jimmy Cobb and bassist Ron Carter, soon to be releasing recordings with Benny Golson, Tootie Heath, George Coleman, I think, too. Tell us about the importance of learning from these masters who are still with us.
Well, I think for me, it started when I first moved to New York. I joined the Dizzy Gillespie Alumni Orchestra, and we traveled around a bit, but there was one gig in particular at the Kennedy Center on New Year's, and we all got on the bus, and I was sitting across the aisle from Jimmy Heath, who was almost 90 years old at the time, and I got to ride down and listen to all of his stories and listen to him talk about all of his experiences and all the great, you know, band leaders he was under and all the great musicians he lived with in Philadelphia and grew up around. He had his own big band, and Charlie Parker came and sat in with it. Benny Golson and John Coltrane both were playing in the big band. I mean, some incredible stuff that I never really could fully grasp until I heard this man, you know, say it from his heart. And I realized that, you know, I needed to be around the jazz masters and needed to be able to learn from them in some capacity. And, you know, Kyle Poole, Russell Hall, guys like Evan Sherman, Yasushi Nakamura, people that we play with all the time in New York City, they all felt similar way. So I decided to create a forum or a platform to pair the jazz masters with the young lions, for lack of a better term. And I decided to make it a series of recordings, interviews, and live performances with jazz masters. And it really focuses on the intergenerational transference of knowledge and experience and ideas. Not only what we get as the mentees, but what, you know, they get some sort of vitality and some sort of affirmation and some sort of overall love for what they have done and what they're doing and what they will continue to do. And so we started with a record with Jimmy Cobb, and then did one with Ron Carter, and then Russell and I recorded with Benny Golson and Tootie Heath last year, which will be out sometime soon. And we also did something with George Coleman, and we're on tour with Houston Person sometimes. We played in Atlanta last month, and Freddie Cole came to sit in with us. And so it's really turned into more of more than an artistic project. It's become kind of like a life mission for us, and it informs the way we play and the way we talk to others and the way we live our lives through the music.
Now, it's kind of obvious that you would be able to pick up some musician tips from these great players about how you go about practicing or keeping your chops up or something, but I'm fascinated by what you might learn about how to be a better piano player just from their stories about getting through life and the people they've met.
Yeah, well, their experiences are everything. You know, there's a lot of dark experiences and a lot of, you know, America in the 60s was not a comfortable place to live in. For a lot of people. And I think, you know, that message is very serious, and I take that, you know, to heart every time I play the instrument, what the music really came out of even before that, dating back to, you know, 1900. But on a more personal level, we get to be around these people. Someone like Tootie Heath, his message is humor. It's about how to take what comes at you in life and just take it in stride, to laugh it off, to be able to laugh at yourself, to have that sense of humor. And that comes across in the music. That brings people into the music. Someone like Ron Carter, his message is seriousness and focus. So when I'm around him, I'm the most focused and the most serious that I ever can possibly, you know, achieve for myself. And each master has their own lessons that they've formed over the years through their experiences, through their lives and everything. And I think that's the most important thing, that they're all undeniably themselves.
Right.
And it gives us this, this yearning to be undeniably ourselves too.
Now, I wonder, as a young man still in your 20s, what your generation, the generation born, not understanding what an answering machine would be for, How is your generation going to be changing the music or keeping the tradition going? What do you think the digital generation has to offer for us?
I think there's people in every generation that are doing stuff for the music, that are pushing it forward, that are stagnant, that are, you know, a generation is such a broad term.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a great community. These guys, Russell Hall with me, Kyle Poole's with me today. You know, we're a community. We are each other's generation, I think is what you're getting at. And one of our concepts for the way we conceive this music is that there's been 100 years of jazz. And whenever you go into a school or whenever you go into a teaching, you know, engagement or down to a jam session, people are usually playing jazz within a 10-year period. And everything's very segregated. So, you know, the traditional musicians, they play in the style of Louis Armstrong. That's all they do. The free musicians, they play at the Stone or they play at whatever club. And that's all they do. They only do that. The bebop musicians, you know, sometimes they're very closed-minded. And this is not generally. This is in 2018.
Yeah.
They do their own thing in their club. And our mission is to integrate the different styles of music a little bit and include everything almost that we've ever heard, particularly 100 years of jazz. And
right.
So that's one of our missions, to get deeper into the past and bring all those things together, I think, is our pathway into the future.
Continuing with Duke Ellington's great quote, there's only two kinds of music, good kind and the other kind. And we got the good kind with us in our studios. Check out the Master's Legacy series from Emmett Cohen. And emmettcohen.com is where to find out more about where he's playing around the country and when the new records are coming out. We got time for one more tune. Emmett, what'll this one be?
This is something that Louis Armstrong used to play by Carol Dickerson. It's called Symphonic Raps.